Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I have a little announcement to make before the class. Yesterday I was taking lunch prasadam with Yadunandan Swami and Hridayananda, Hriday Chaitanya Prabhu. And they asked me, somehow or other in the course of our discussion, we started talking about the departure of my best friend as a devotee. We were Sangatan partners for 18 years, Nirguna Prabhu. And it was a very miraculous event. And it gives a lot of faith to devotees, you know, of the process that Prabhupada's given us. So they asked me the next time I give class to speak on this topic. So I'm sorry that I didn't get it all together and have the proper verse on the board. But there's a particular verse that lends itself to speaking on this topic. So we'll, rather than from the 5th canto, 16th chapter, we'll take from the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, which is entitled Prayers of the Demigods to Lord Krishna in the Womb. This will be text 31. It's not a famous verse. It comes just before a famous verse, the Yenye Ravandaksha Vimukti Mani Nas verse. But it's just loaded with a very powerful understanding of how the great acharyas are empowered and how they help their followers. And it's actually will be my big challenge to try and fit it all into the timeline that's given for the Bhagavatam class. So I'll just chant this shloka myself, and then we'll move right into the translation and the purport. Okay, sorry if this departure from the normal protocol disturbs anybody. But I had this request, so I'm trying to honor it as best I can. Hare Krishna. Okay, so. Swayam sutirya sudustaram dhuman vavarnavam bhimam adabra sodvidaha vavatpadam boruha navamatrate yudaya yata sadanugraho bhavan. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vanchakalpa Taru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Purport. This statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Brahmate Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. One can achieve the seed of Bhakti Lata, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world takes shelter of such a guru or acharya, who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances, so that the personality of Godhead will accept the service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotees may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Thus, it is the duty of the acharya to publish books that will help future candidates take up this method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In a Krishna consciousness movement, the same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. Because in the Western countries, constant chanting is not possible, one should not artificially imitate Haridas Thakur, but should follow this method. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures published by the authorities. The acharya gives a suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the devotees will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya Vihina Ye Matraste Nishpala Mata, from the Padma Purana. There's no translation given that there, but it means that if one doesn't accept a mantra in a bona fide sampradaya, then there will be no fruit born from that mantra. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya. Otherwise, one's endeavor will be futile. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore sings, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas Janame Janame Haya Eabilas. One must worship the lotus feet of the acharya and live within the society of the devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. Svayam Sutirya Sadushtaram Duman Pavarnavam Bhiman Madabra Sodrida Bhavat Padam Boruha Navamatrate Hidayayata Sadanugrahao Bhavan. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, Vanchakalpa Taru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nescience, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Om Gyana Timanandasya Gananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Amritam Gena Taishmai Shri Guru Vaya Namaha. So this describes the transcendental teamwork that takes place between Krishna and his dearly beloved Acharya. The point is that because of the surrender, the depth of the surrender and the depth of the love that a great devotee, an Acharya, has for Krishna, then Krishna reveals the means by which this devotee can cross the ocean of nescience. And then accepting the role of an Acharya or a guru, understanding his duty to develop the means according to time, place, and circumstance, the Acharya finds the way that his followers can also cross the ocean of nescience. And he leaves this means behind. And if his disciples, if his followers accept these means and take it up seriously, then Krishna will accept these means, will accept the service. Okay, so there's a very interesting story that Srila Prabhupada told in this connection. And it was conveyed to Giriraj Swami, who spoke about this in a class in Vrindavan about 26 months ago, just prior to Janmashtami, and I was attending the class. And Giriraj Swami didn't hear it directly. He heard it from another devotee who conveyed it to him. And Prabhupada described how a businessman will select a representative to conduct business on his behalf, and he'll send this businessman out into the field to negotiate terms with a potential client. And so the representative will do just that. And then after finalizing the terms and putting together a contract which the representative and the clients accept, he returns to the home office. Now, the proprietor of the business, the businessman that sent him out, that selected the representative, may not fully agree with the terms, but he's obliged to accept the terms because he's a representative. Now, I think the analogy is obvious. And Giriraj Swami, he couldn't understand, you know, how the guru could do something that may be of a different than the vision of Krishna. You know, a means that would be different than what Krishna would like to see take place. Okay? So he was really bewildered by this, and for many years he just couldn't process this. So it finally dawned on him, you know, as he matured as a devotee, that spiritual personalities do indeed have different visions. And Giriraj Swami gave the example that Krishna wanted Subhadra to marry Arjuna, but Balaram wanted Subhadra to marry Duryodhana. I mean, quite a vast difference of, potential grooms for Subhadra. I mean, you can't get that much further on the spectrum of difference of personalities. So, you know, I mean, Balaram's the first expansion of Krishna, same Supreme Personality of Godhead, different manifestation, different personalities. But, okay, so that's one example. But then we see that this is traditionally the case with the Acharyas. They'll develop unique means to deliver the personalities that they're preaching to. Like, even with Srila Vyasadeva, you know, he divided the Veda, the one Veda, into four to accommodate the less intelligent people in Kali Yuga, right? So then we have the example of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His preaching began when the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya had really fallen into disrepute. Mostly the so-called followers were the white of Babaji's, you know, and performed Nirjan Bhajan. But then on the side, they do their Rasa Leela, you know, their Prakriti Sahajiyism. And, you know, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he established the authenticity and the validity of being a proper grihastha and becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness. And he also came in a time when the British imperialism was focused on many levels, not just economic, but also cultural and spiritual. And the East Indian Trading Company, in the name of Sir William James, you know, they hired, he was the first Indologist, and he just did his best to denigrate, you know, our tradition. You know, he spoke, there's one quote that I recently saw. This is an article written by Sariputta. Actually, it was a presentation that he made to some scholars. And the Sir William James, you know, described the pastimes in the Mahabharata as simply mythology. So, you know, I was shocked when I first became a temple president and I started dealing with congregational members, and they would refer to Krishna's pastimes as mythology. Yeah, and some of them were very devout, you know, very good devotees. But this was just a terminology that was imposed upon the Indian populace to, you know, subjugate them. You know, Sir William James, of course, was a Christian. At first, the East India Trading Company's strategy was don't upset them about their spirituality. But then that was discarded, and it became a full-on assault, you know, on our tradition. And to a large extent, it worked. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to deal with that, where people just, what was it called? Those skeptical intellectualism? No, that's not the term. So, you know, but it was like everything had to be logically understood. There was no question of achincha, going beyond logic and reason, you know, in this. Skeptical rationalism, that's the term I'm looking for. And that was the, you know, that was kind of